Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Do you know I always do something stupid, like I say 3, 2, 1 before I press record? What do you do in radio?
Well, kind of once a radio station is turned on, it's then not turned off until it ceases transmitting. So there's
you know, say 3, 2, 1 and a little red light goes on?
No, you have a red light that comes on when you put the microphone fader up. Anyway.
Fascinating kickoff to a rugby podcast, isn't it?
Just? We're live on Facebook to the world. We're on iTunes and Acast. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Let's do this, gentlemen. Hand the pod on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Pod.
This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game. We are Tim. We are JB.
Hello, Timothy.
We are Phil.
Hello, Tim.
And we are here for you every single week with a brand new podcast talking about rugby, which this week will take in the Avicii Premiership penultimate round of regular season games. Also some games going on in the Pro 12. Plenty of other chat aside. Warren Gatland's been out taking to Twitter and getting ruined. More on that in a little bit.
I can't wait for this.
It was really good. We've got a game that's been sent in, which I think you're going to enjoy. And I'm going to share with you as well a 5-star review that's been left on iTunes. We don't ask for much, but we do ask that if you take a moment of your time to give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, that's all right, JB. Just adding to the tension. Then you could get it read out like Theo Wilson, 32, is. He says, with the commitment of Johnny Wilkinson diving into a tackle or Big Gav heading to the tanning salon, these boys, fire straight into the topics essential for listening for all self-respecting rugby fans. Why are Sale the best team with ball in hand? In brackets, they're not. Who actually is English qualified? And how many Nazis played for the Springboks? However, if you want to know what Ellis Genge really did at Bristol, you might want to go elsewhere. Unless you want to fill people in now?
No, moving on.
Cracking listen with great banter and insight. Cheers, lads. Well, thank you, Theo Wilson. Much appreciated. Leave your review on iTunes. You can listen on Acast or anywhere else. You can find a podcast. Bank holiday weekend. We're in on a Sunday.
We never stop, though, do we?
We
are relentless.
Slaves to rugby.
Slaves. Did you work this weekend, or are you just a regular civilian? What's going on?
I was sat in front of my telly watching rugby. I did no work in,
wow,
in the rugby arena.
What was it like watching rugby like the proletariat do?
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me of the good old days. That was all right. I like watching rugby on the telly, I'm going to admit. I like watching it.
Do you know what? This week might not have been your best week to stay in front of the TV watching any rugby, actually. Especially in the Aviva.
Avicii, why is that?
I don't know. I did not feel the games were a bit flat. But like every home team was putting in a massive effort. Every away team sort of didn't show up because obviously it's the last lot of home games for half the teams.
Mm. Yeah.
I see what you're saying. But there were some really impressive game. I liked this because there were lots of people having their last home game in front of their home crowds.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
always adds to the spice of an occasion.
And there's always like, it's kind of three ways to consider this, isn't there? It's like, marvellous career, well done, get clapped off, i.e. Nick Evans.
Yeah.
There is, thank God they're going, right, which I'm not going to name any names, but I'm sure there might have been one or two. It's like, yeah, won't be missed. And there's, what have we done? Like Freddie Burns.
Freddie Burns, who put in a great performance.
Again.
Again.
So, Freddie Burns is a bit weird, isn't he, in terms of every time that he leaves a club, he leaves when he's playing well and then arrives. Actually, that's not true, because he arrived at Leicester not playing well. So let's just hope, for Bath's sake, that he pulls this performance and its form over into his new shirt.
Well, it's an interesting one, that. Did you see someone messaged us on Facebook to ask if we'd listen to one of the recent Green and Gold podcasts?
Yes, Ben Darwin. I'm having him on the Rugby Dungeon this week.
Have you listened to that?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Fascinating. Really, really interesting. But one of the points that he makes is the amount of time it takes for players to actually settle in a new club. And it was making me think of the George Ford, Freddie Burns saga. They've all each been at those clubs for 2 or 3 years. And his point was, it actually takes 3 years for any player to fit properly, to properly get back to their peak rugby when they settle at a new club. So you could have a period where for the first 2 years of this transfer, both players are still playing below their capability of when they were at their previous clubs.
Completely agree.
So they're, even in 2 years' time, they'll still be worth less to their new clubs than they were to their previous clubs.
So this kind of ties into a thought which I had today watching watching highlights of Wasps and then contrasting them with Exeter. And it's got to be a culture thing, because presumably some lads could show up at a club and never settle in because the culture's not right, or the coaches don't care, or, you know, it just isn't right environment for you to to integrate.
Or you don't have those, because like some combinations are more important than others.
Yes.
Like the relationship between a 9, a 10 and a 12, for example, or a hooker and a line-out caller.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I was thinking is, if you look at the really successful teams that this year, Wasps, Saracens and Exeter, well, I'm happy to class Exeter and Saracens are kind of the same bracket, the right sort of culture. They, you know, they sign a new player, but you don't see them immediately. You know, after maybe a year. I mean, we've not seen Campagnaro for 18 months, really.
Yeah, we've only seen a handful of games, yeah.
So, you know, you can see the integration and the way that they bring them through. If you look at Wasps and their recent struggles, they're almost a little bit like Toulon in a sense, which is they rely on individual brilliance and player brilliance rather than team structure and culture.
And how many players have they actually brought through in that team?
I think it'd be unfair to say no.
Wade,
but they've definitely done some.
Daly.
Like, Cipriani is the heartbeat of that team. And I think that's the point. They rely on his talent so much that when he's not there or has a bad game, the wheels fall off.
I would say Gopeth is the heartbeat of that team.
I think Cipriani facilitates Gopeth playing. I really do. And Gopeth's amazing, don't get me wrong.
So when Sippers wasn't playing this weekend, just gone...
And last weekend and the game against Leinster when Sippers got battered, and, you know, against Sale as well, actually, when Sale beat
them. When Sale won.
Yeah, so I think there's a little bit of a Toulon effect there.
We can get into the games in a little bit more depth. I've got a question for you. So this weekend, from Thursday night, I watched the first round of the NFL draft.
Okay.
Which I love as a spectacle. So if you're not aware of how this works, you're not an NFL fan, teams based on from worst to best in the recent season pick from the players that are making themselves eligible for the draft, usually from university, college sides.
Only from universities.
Yeah, yeah. But so anyway, you got this pool of a few hundred college players all vying for a position, and players become instant millionaires, don't know which side they're going to, and they get picked. But it's basically on the teams judge who's of most value to least value, effectively. So I was thinking, if suddenly there was a draft system in rugby union, there was a new organisation, you could pick any player in the world, who would you draft number one? Who would be in contention as like the most valuable? Is it as simple as just going Bowden Barrett number one, done?
Well, okay, let's just iron out a few things here. So number one, is our pick at their ages today?
Yeah.
For the foreseeable future,
I think so. I think just, right. Like, who'd you take now?
Yeah, if you're going to do it, yeah, tomorrow.
So like, if you know, Nick Evans would be a daft choice.
Yes, he's got one game left.
Okay, so I think Bowden Barrett being the best. You've got to go with the 10, right?
I find it really, really, really difficult to look past Bowden Barrett.
Yeah. What about a tight head?
Interesting.
How many scrums are there, even in an international game now? How many scrums are there? It's still an important element, but nothing like it was 5 years ago.
And as I've mentioned before, plastic pitches, I reckon, are going to near enough kill off the scrum.
I don't think... I don't believe that will happen, but...
Well, no, because you don't knock it on as much.
But I do believe less... Well, the data's there to prove it. There's many less scrums than there were...
Because higher skill levels...
Five, six, seven, 8 years ago. And the hit has changed it as well. So players like Adam Jones overnight went from being one of the most dominant tight heads in the world to kind of sort of decent.
Yeah. And also, scrums are being reffed differently these days. There does seem to be kind of more scope to let the boys play a little bit and not blow up for a penalty, particularly if the ball is at the back of the scrum.
All right, so not tight head. What about scrum half?
Important.
But not as critical as they were, weirdly.
Well, even on that, I think certainly in France, scrum halves are more valuable.
Le petit général.
Yeah, because they control the game so much. Someone like Morgan Parra, for example, is so important to how Clermont play. Mm. Or Maxime Machinaud at Racing.
Well, it can be on an individual level. It doesn't have to be done on, oh, I think it would be a fly half, therefore Beauden Barrett. Beauden Barrett is a complete player. You could slot him in at fullback, outside centre, and he'd probably still have an incredible impact on the game.
That's true.
That's why he'd be my number one draft pick, basically.
I also think it's probably a fly half, but not necessarily. Like, a couple of years ago, there would have been a very strong argument to say Israel Folau.
So, rank your positions in order of importance, if you've got your draft board.
I think that depends on the players that there are.
Yeah. So my first would probably be...
Beauden Barrett. He's our number one NFL, number one draft. I was thinking someone like Izzy Folau, but maybe Izzy Folau a couple of years ago, not of recent months.
Yeah, he's not in the best form, but he's also in a TARS team that are performing particularly badly.
Yeah, and also, do you look at talent level, okay, or rarities of skills in a certain position, i.e. there's not that many 6 foot seven men about, or 20 stone men about? Or do you go out and out talent?
I think the whole what I love about the NFL draft is it's people just assessing effectively
raw athleticism,
pure value based on whatever skill set you, whatever set of...
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at, because until very recently, running backs didn't go until very, very late, and they're the most athletic guys on the team.
Yeah, okay. But there's...
Because it's a common choice.
Beauden Barrett goes number one. Who'd be up there in the mix for number two?
Owen Farrell?
Guy like Izzy Folau. Owen Farrell, yeah.
Owen Farrell would be up there. I'd also be tempted by another Kiwi fly half, although he's been playing...
Aaron Cruden?
Well, he's been playing virtually all of his rugby at fullback at the moment.
Who's that?
D-Mac. Damien McKenzie.
Did you see that try he scored at the weekend? Oh, my
yes,
God.
I did.
Damien McKenzie's a fly half.
He's a junior grade fly half.
I've only ever seen him play fullback.
Well, so have I. Mm. But I know he's a junior grade fly half, and I also know he kicks sticks.
Yeah.
But he's kicking sticks ahead of
Stacks
Cruden.
Up.
And you can get some intimidation points out of his Joker smile.
That is so sinister, isn't it?
I think it'd be very interesting to see whether he gets a shot against the Lions. Particularly because Beauden Barrett hasn't been kicking, because Geordie Barrett has been kicking sticks for the Canes.
Do you think he might get disadvantaged a little bit? Because it's very clear what Warren Gatland wants to do, and that relies on a lot of size.
Is it, though?
I don't know.
I'm not so sure. I'm still not convinced about that. Just because
you're not convinced that Warren
Gatland's... Just because JD2's on the plane, I don't think he's in the test thoughts. If we were picking tomorrow, I don't even think he'd be.
He's taking Ben Tao. I mean, that's a pretty clear statement in a lot of ways.
But Eddie Jones picks him in his matchday squad.
Yeah, but for different reasons. I mean, I guess if they took Stuart McCloskey, it'd be a bit of a slam dunk what they were trying to do.
Yeah, or Jamie Roberts.
Or both. Yeah. By the way, Jamie Roberts is playing 10.
Where would Billy V, where would he get drafted?
13.
Where would he get drafted?
Ooh, I think 8s are relatively common, but good 8s are.
Ooh. So, yeah, mind you, I was going to say, how many are there? You could say Billy V, Faletau, Pickermalls, Parisi, Kieran Reid, Dwayne Vermaelen.
Yeah, there's quite a few, isn't there?
There's a few good ones, and potentially CJ Stander in that mix as well.
And then you got the second tier.
And Issa, the Argentinian lad.
So I think you pick on rare talent, and then you pick on rare physical ability. Yeah. So someone like Luke Charteris would go fairly high, because not very many people are built like him.
But the advantage of him being inches taller...
I'm not saying pick Luke Charteris. I'm saying people with rare physical ability. So you don't get many 20-stone...
I was about to say hi, Warren.
Not many 22-stone titan props that can, you know, do a lot of work.
Yeah.
Mm.
So with that in mind, who would I go for next? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I need to get my draft board out.
All right. Well, we can come back to that. But it was interesting. It was interesting watching the draft as an occasion. They had it out. It's this big event, effectively.
It's in Philadelphia.
It was outdoors in the middle of Philadelphia on the rocky steps. They had the stage.
Is that what they did? Is it?
Yeah. Effectively, it's the world's biggest school playground picking teams.
Yes.
There is.
And so. Do you know they've all got like their not that this is relevant to this podcast, but I'll go into it anyway. They've all got their little draft rooms. So the people you've seen those little phones, which are pretty much redundant now.
Yeah.
So they started off, didn't they, like in the '60s or the '50s or whatever, and they had to hardwire the phones. They've still got the phones there now. Those are just random guys like cleaners or chefs or something, because all the brains trust are actually in the war rooms back at the facilities.
Mm. I love it. I loved it as a spectacle.
It's quality,
but I loved some of the rugby this weekend as a spectacle. So should we start with some Avicii, JB?
Can you just give me a little bit more warning?
Yeah,
before...
yeah. I'm thinking when I cast my eye around some of the games I want to talk about first. I'm thinking we should start perhaps with some Avicii.
Oh, sorry.
It is playing, but the sound's down. There we go.
Some Avicii Premiership Rugby.
There you go.
So smooth.
Thanks, mate.
Right. So as with previous weeks, there's a lot of games which are effectively dead rubbers. Newcastle, Worcester, for example.
I was expecting that to be an absolute try fest.
Yeah, me too.
It was a bore fest.
Yeah, it was a bore fest. We can skirt over that one. There's some teams which have something potentially to play for. Bath.
That was shocking.
Yeah, I'm a little bit annoyed at Bath because, again, they pull their finger out when there's almost no chance of it mattering.
Well, I mean, necessarily.
They're 4 points behind Leicester Tigers.
Leicester Tigers are going to...
Bath are going to Sale.
I think Leicester have got a big game. I think it might be Wasps or someone.
No, Saracens have got Wasps. We'll get onto those.
Leicester travel to Worcester.
Yeah. So Leicester need basically a point.
Yeah.
To confirm a top four position. So Bath have done one in the bed and in previous weeks, and then pull out a really impressive performance when it doesn't matter, which really frustrated me.
I thought, what did you think of the game? Do you want to talk about the game?
Well, briefly? No, this is kind of what I was getting at, is I don't think, because of the context, and again, Gloucester had an outstanding performance in Europe, and then just looked really poor again. So I almost think by virtue of Bath's previous week's performances, and by virtue of Gloucester's performance, they don't deserve a lot of airtime.
No, I kind of get that. But I think there are some important points here. I mean, this obviously was a televised game, so BT thought it was relatively important.
They don't decide the fixtures a week before, no.
Yeah,
it's like three or 4 weeks before. Anyway, doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but that's exactly my point. A month ago, Bath were in the box seat, and Gloucester could have had a top six position as well.
It is annoying. I thought Gloucester were going to win this, and... I was actually very surprised. I think what it came down to... this is what I wanted to say. It really irritates me. Director of rugby after the game. What's his name? Director of rugby for Gloucester. Humphreys,
yeah.
Comes out and starts talking about Gloucester's mistakes. When will a director of rugby come out and say, we got battered because the other team were tactically a lot smarter than us?
They fronted up more. They played in the right areas of the field.
Smash us in defence. And that's exactly what happened. I think, watching Gloucester the last few weeks, when they scored their tries, it's usually from multiple phases, very, 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 very fast recycled ball. And they couldn't do it today because Bath were off the line so quickly. The line speed was pretty remarkable, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think he should have been a bit more honest about his
failures?
Like,
we got absolutely hammered because the rugby we were trying to play was completely snuffed out by Bath because they were more aggressive and more enthusiastic.
Done. Yeah. Interview done.
They said it's like, no, we made some mistakes. No, you didn't.
What games do you want to talk about, Tim?
Well, it's very, very interesting at the top of the table. And not smug points, honestly, when I say, did we both feel called the Quins win? I definitely called the Quins win.
I think I might have said Wasps win.
I think you and I had it on the same points as well.
No, I called the Quins win, 100%. Let the record show. No, I called the Quins win.
I seem to think that
I think you both did.
I think I agreed with you and we had the same points as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
I think you both did.
Stand down, Tim.
Yeah.
Stand down.
Yeah. Right. So, exactly. I could see this one coming, and now the final weekend, Saracens v Wasps. For a home semi-final.
Yeah.
It's a shootout. And what's going on with Wasps?
Yeah.
It's exactly as I said before, I think. They rely too much on individual talent and not enough on systems and coaching. That's what I truly believe.
It's interesting because I thought they would have more than enough in the bank to beat this. I do think that Quins were buoyed by Nick Evans, both it being Nick Evans' last game.
Did they mention that on commentary?
They might have mentioned it once or twice.
I can't remember.
I don't know. I'll have to look back at the highlights see if it was brought up. Yeah. Oh, rightly so it was brought up. 9 years, a Premiership winner, one of the best players of Premiership. He'd go in an all-time Premiership 15.
He is in the... You know, we waxed lyrical, didn't we, again, about Marcus Iertz being one of those guys that even when the Premiership wasn't world-class, he was world-class. Nick Evans is in the same sort of category there, I think.
Definitely. And Nick Evans himself rolled back the years, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
You know, man of the match performance, and rightly so, man of the match.
That annoys me as well when they're about to retire and they put in a barnstorming man of the match. I was like, well, maybe not now. Maybe wait until
Have I got it right? You're staying on as a coach in some capacity?
It'd surprise me if they didn't, because they do have a good record of doing
it. I believe that might be the case.
I know he has been coaching. I think he's been coaching at Wimbledon RFC. Yeah, I know he has been doing some coaching, so yeah, that would make sense. So if you look at this one game in isolation, you'd say, why is he hanging up his boots? If you do look at the whole of this season...
Yeah,
it soon becomes clear.
Yeah, it's been very, very stop-start for Nick Evans. He's been injured, back fit again, injured immediately, back fit again, injured immediately again. So it's the right time, but it was a hell of a performance.
Yeah,
We'll get onto this in a little bit. I imagine it'll be our game of the week as we look ahead to next week. But Saracens looking ominous and peaking at the right time, and Wasps have got their work cut out to keep a home semi final. Which again, go back a few weeks, you'd have thought that's done and dusted.
Yeah, well,
yeah, it was. It's been in their gift for quite some time as well. It's been in their gift. Saracens. Interesting performance. First half. I half feel they got penalised out of the first half, but they were giving away stupid penalties, and then they did turn it on.
Well, they were up against Big Gav, who we completely forgot in the NFL draft conversation as well. Of course, he'd go top five without a doubt. By the way, on
him and Mike Phillips
on Facebook, Dane Coles has come up. From people mentioning us that he should come up, and they're absolutely right. He would come up in a conversation of if rugby union was having a draft system, he'd be right up there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, just because of the complete skill set he offers to a position that doesn't normally have
he's an auxiliary outside centre if you need one.
Not since Phil Greening retired.
Yeah,
so nice one, George Brunton, for that message on Facebook. Big Gav. Did the business in the first half for Bristol.
Well, I was watching the scoring live, and they go 9 points up. Yep. All Big Gav pens, like this is their day.
Yeah,
this is it.
Here we go. I picked it up at half time. I was like, "What? What has happened?"
Now, did I get this right? Tompkins and Lazowski, both in the centres.
Towards the end of the game, did it start like that?
I've got a feeling it did. Although. It might not have, because there was a slight error when the team sheets were announced.
No, it did.
Did it?
Yeah, they started there.
Yeah, so there was an error with the team sheets, which meant all of Bristol's players moved forward one number. So when you read the team sheet, it was like Gavin Henson on the wing. what's his name? What's his name? The scrum off. Alberson? What's he?
Albie Mathewson.
Albie Mathewson, yeah.
What did you call him?
Matthew Albieson.
he was playing number eight.
Number eight, yeah. So that actually did happen.
Yes, it did.
Well, that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because you'd have thought Farrell would be itching for game time at 12.
At 12, yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And you wondered if that's a glimpse into the future. That it was, yeah, we see Owen Farrell pop up for England at 12, but Alex Lazowski has had... He's been signing of the season. He's been one of the players of the season.
That's a question.
Surely. Surely, yeah. Is there anyone that's had more of an impact than Alex Lazowski as a new signing? A
couple of guys that I can think of. Korn Fotualihi.
Yes, that's fair.
And Louis
Picamall. Denny.
Denny is a pretty good signing.
Perhaps not as good as Picamall's.
But Alex Lazowski, to not notice that much when Owen Farrell is away, because he was injured for the first 6-8 weeks of the season as well. Let's not forget.
And he missed with England.
Yeah, tremendous value. I mean, I don't know how much you're paying him. It might be terrible value. But
you'd have to assume it's pretty good, yeah. Pretty good value.
I mean,
With the KPMG running the numbers as well, it's definitely going to be good value.
Exactly. But maybe it's just one of these things for Saracens, you know, with a couple of guys leaving Swansea fourth, just get your best players on the field.
Yeah. And for Saracens as well, they've got some brutal fixtures coming up. They're going to play... they're going to play a final in 2 weeks, by a semi-final a week after that, followed by potentially another final.
Yeah, Wasps away, Claremont in Edinburgh, and then, it's going to be a good team, at home or away.
A semi-final, and then potentially another final.
So, and then another final.
And then...
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
so two
final.
Finals, one semi-final, and the Wasps game, which is effectively a semi... Like,
which could be a semi-final or final.
Yeah. And then half their squad will either be travelling straight down to New Zealand or to Argentina.
These boys put in a real shift.
I'll tell you
what,
someone who won't be travelling anywhere with any international squad, but looked the nuts this weekend, Chris Ashton again. He's so good.
The little grubber chip through and collect.
There was the try that was disallowed. He was offside, but in the first few minutes... He, again, did an amazing footballing bit of skill and just... He's class. Much like David Strettel, much kind of maligned in some quarters and then only really... It's when you look back or when he was about to go, you sort of thought, oh, he's actually really good.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree with that. Same with Abandonen too.
Benders!
So, yeah. Oh, well.
I think it is worth mentioning this game as well.
Yeah, go on.
Para, Petrus Duplessis.
Yes!
156th or 157th appearance for Saracens.
107 Premiership games he's played.
And it's his first and second Premiership tries. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Both in a driving maul.
Yeah.
But he's played all those games, won all those trophies with Saracens and never scored a try.
Yeah.
And he's about to go off to London Irish and he's bagged a brace. What was quite funny about that is, bearing in mind, you know, props, I don't think many props really give too much attention to their appearance. Just you there's no point, is there? It's like, you know, trying to polish a turd with the places they put their heads, and it's no wonder that they end up battered and bruised. That you could be a beautiful looking man, you play a season at prop and you look a mess.
Have I told you about Jamal Ford Robinson yet?
What, are you going to tell me about his beauty regime?
Yeah, maybe.
Let me just say on Para, so he he scored his first ever Premiership try in however many games, over 100 games, and everyone came up and was celebrating, ruffling his hair and stuff. And the shot of him was his name, first Premiership try, but all he was doing was putting his hair back in place.
Patting it down.
He ruffled it up.
His nice bleached blonde hair. Bleached a bit too blonde.
A little bit too blonde. Jamal Ford Robinson likes a bit of bleach blonde and he's part of his mohawk.
He most certainly does. And with him moving to Northampton next year, I've been reliably informed that he's going to do his hair alternate green, black and yellow down a mohawk.
Wow. That'll be interesting.
So how do you like that?
Since we're doing rugby haircut section on the pod,
don't we always? It's just a regular segment, isn't it?
Did you see Danny Hare's new hair?
Yes.
Like bleach blonde, but not quite blonde enough, so it's a little bit gingery.
Yeah.
With the high and tight fade.
Nice. No, awful. Sorry.
He's
persisting with the high and tight fade.
He was
one of the pioneers of the high and tight fade.
Yeah. So like,
he certainly was.
So the high and tight fade has kind of aged as he has. So it doesn't look as ridiculous as, you know, as if a 30-year-old had got it done when he first got it done. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the hipsters had it, and then the people before that had it and managed to look all right with it was people going into war in 1915.
Oh, but bleach blonde, that doesn't look good on anyone over 21.
No.
Unless it's, I don't know, for some reason or other. Oh, Tim, something else about Jamal Ford Robinson. It was right in your wheelhouse. You ready?
I'm ready.
Have a look at a wrestler called Crisis, who might or might not look like Jamal Ford Robinson.
Crisis.
Are you saying he models himself on Crisis the wrestler?
I'm saying he might be Crisis the wrestler.
Chris Crisis? Is that him?
Crisis. I can't remember the... It's
a Crow Crisis?
No.
Don Crisis Vico Batamango?
No.
Wrestle Crisis?
Crisis spelt with a K and with a Y.
Oh, okay. You need to
one
say
Y or two Ys?
I don't know. I'm not the guy for spelling. Read my Twitter.
Crisis.
I'm getting some weird images. None of them look like...
WBW Crisis? No.
Mate,
this is not going well.
It isn't going great, is it?
I'm getting quite a few images of Crichton from Red Dwarf.
Yeah, so am I.
Well, I can reliably inform you that if you...
How are you spelling Crisis again?
I don't bloody know.
K-R-Y.
I'm the last person on earth that you need to be asking this. Well, actually, no. As I brought it up, I guess I'd be fairly high up the list. Here you go, mate. I've got it on my phone, thankfully.
Is it Alex Crisis?
So K-R-I-S-Y-S versus Tyson James.
This is amazing.
It's really top end podcast.
Do you want to see the pictures I'm getting for the way you've just spelt Crisis Wrestler?
Yeah,
are you getting the same as I am? I think she's in a very different line of business, this woman.
This is a work computer. I'm abort in this search right now.
Right, so maybe we'll just stick to rugby, hey?
Well, I'll tell you what, before, just as we've come to this little natural break, did you see the Ask Warren hashtag early this week?
No.
So the two things that happened on Monday last week was the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast came out, obviously. That's one of the big moments in the rugby week. And the second thing that happened on Monday was Warren Gatland agreed with Standard Life, the sponsors, one of the main shirt sponsors of the Lions, to do a Twitter question and answer session with the rugby fraternity.
Oh, it sounds like nothing could go wrong.
Sounds like nothing could possibly go wrong. I've picked out some of my favourite Ask Warren questions. Questions like Neil Clark. Well, I did look into it, and it's not Neil Clark, who used to play for Exeter Chiefs, annoying that, and etc. Anyway, Neil Clark's question, hashtag Ask Warren. Warren, you have the best job in the world by miles, so why are you so miserable? Has someone shat in your slippers?
Oh, dear.
There's lots of sarcastic questions like that. Keith Taylor, if a plane is travelling at 550 miles per hour and has 11,500 miles to go, how many Welshmen should really be on it? Which I quite liked. Stuart's question was hashtag Ask Warren, who is your dentist? He has had some good veneers popped in, hasn't he? Andrew Bond, with lots of people saying ones like this. Warren, quick question. Did you watch any of the Six Nations this year? And Ross Manson, did you think Scotland got independence and weren't British anymore? And then there were silly questions like Alex Dodds, what type of adhesive polythene carpet protector would you recommend for my living room? Those are my favourite type ones.
Yeah, I quite like them.
The Valley Viking said, are you only taking Tommy Seymour in order to have someone to scale your ladder and clean your windows whilst you're back home? And Mark Smith said, do you think Rob Howley would struggle to attack a wet paper bag?
Nice.
I've got a question for Warren as well. I'll add this one to the questions. Ask Warren. Warren, why don't you get rid of your goatee with a Cornerstone razor?
Oh, nice. There you go.
The best razor on the market. That's a fact. And it's bugging me that when big sporting events like the Lions come about, suddenly people like George North put their name to Gillette razors.
Well, Gillette put their name to George North.
To George North or whatever. Yeah, exactly. So make the smart decision. Don't take our word for it. Take any number of independent people judging the quality of razors, and they always come up with Cornerstone as the market leader in terms of quality of the razor. That is a fact. It's a mail order razor. You get it delivered straight to you in a beautiful Cornerstone presentation box, and because you listen to us, you can get, for just £4, less than a pint in the place we're going for a drink straight after this podcast, you could get 6 razors and an engraved aluminium shaft personalised with your initials, whichever ones you want. All you need to do is go to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers, or
Egg10 at checkouts.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad that that's come to an end, because I've found Crisis versus Tyson James. Hey, you are, Tim.
Oh, go on.
By the way,
hold it up to the microphone.
So I'll just show you now. They've got some kind of fall guy fighting him. So
what sort of tin pot wrestling is this?
It's some London franchise. Look at the size of him.
Oh, he does look a bit like Jamal Ford Robinson.
It is Jamal Ford. It's Jamal Ford Robinson.
He's worked hard on those quads.
Yeah.
Check out those quads, Philip. I'm a bit. So who brought? How did you find Crisis the wrestler and think that looks like Jamal Ford Robinson? Ford Robinson was aware of a guy.
No. Jamal Ford Robinson is Crisis, right? He told me on the Rugby Dungeon.
Yeah, are you actually?
Boo!
Ding. It's not actually Jamal Ford Robinson.
It is. He even posted it himself.
Are you having? No, don't be stupid.
I mean, stupid. That is Jamal Ford Robinson.
Get out of town. No, I'm not having it.
It is. Look who posted it. I'll even show you the text when he sent me a text.
Oh, that's a game changer, that.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Right. If that is real and that's genuinely him, then BT Sport, I need to have a word. They need to get this on. They got on board with the Corbs rap. They need to get a Crisis the Wrestler, get a little ring on Rugby Tonight.
How about this? Tag team partner, Crisis, Borislav.
Yes,
oh,
Borislav.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Petrus Duplessis.
I'm a matchmaker.
Front row union. Love it.
You going to be the new Vince McMahon?
I'd love to. Do you know what I'd give to be Vince McMahon? Every time the sun's out and I'm in a suit jacket, I start walking like you. Don't mean to. It just happens.
Rugby.
Rugby.
Rugby, rugby, rugby. Right, I've got an apology to make. I've made this apology a couple of times, and I'm sure you won't be far behind me, gents. Exeter Chiefs. Sorry, Rob Baxter, for ever doubting you.
Yep.
I've always loved him. I've always thought he was outstanding. I thought after the start of the season they had... Well, firstly, before the season, I predicted they wouldn't finish as high and they'd struggle to get in the top four.
Yep.
It would be touch and go if they'd make top four. And then about 10 games into the season, when they'd only won one game, we thought the wheels have fallen off.
Exactly.
Oh, my word. They are dominating teams. 7 bonus point victories in a row now.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, I've come to the conclusion that just because I don't understand what he's doing doesn't mean it's wrong. So,
and it's big of you to admit that.
Yeah. And like, you know, I was thinking about this. Bath today, yeah, good performance, but they struggled all season. The players that they lost at the end of last season, i.e. Woodburn and Devoto, they weren't really starters for them.
No.
Yeah,
but they've been
exceptional.
Yeah,
absolutely exceptional. I mean, they're the opposites of Wasps. They are all about coaching, all about systems, all about playing together. They're incredible.
Yeah, I was just exactly what I was thinking as well. The players on their roster. You read down that list of players, and they're all solid players. But I'm just a few. Lucky Turner. Decent player. But he was kind of surplus. He's been surplus elsewhere. Wasn't really loved. Ollie Devoto, like you say, he's got a lot of promise. Ollie Woodburn, as you say, exactly what I popped out. Townsend, their scrum half.
19
years of age. And they've got Jack Maunder going to the England squad.
Yeah.
Carl Rimmer, loosehead prop.
Moon? Did
Jack,
he
Jack Yendall, Hooker, Dave Dennis, second row, Kai Horseman, number eight. I mean, these aren't guys that you go, they are, oh, they're premiership class, they're top elite class, but they're playing like it.
I mean, I guess, just to make an argument, I think you'd say there's a bit of star power in Lockie Turner when he arrived. He was at Toulon or somewhere prior to that. He's maybe the fastest man in rugby or something. Clearly he's not, because that's Ollie Woodburn. James Short, another one. I mean, how many clubs has James Short been to?
Yeah.
And he's amazing at Exeter now. Yeah, they're an incredible outfit.
They just don't have masses of stardust. They've got little bits here and there. Do you think Jack Knoll and things like that.
But do you think that's why it works?
Yes. Yeah, exactly as you say, they get more... They're the, again, to this will only be of benefit to anyone who follows American football as well, but they're like the New England Patriots.
Yeah, they trust the system.
Rob Baxter does his homework and they find value where others don't see value. And then the systems make the combination of everyone better than the sum of the parts.
By the way, don't take system as a boring thing, because quite far out from, say, about the halfway line, they play some really expansive stuff. Really expensive stuff, and when you've got what they have, and then you finally do get a potential world class player like Jack Knoll, the results are spectacular.
Yeah, Jack Knoll was brilliant. There's a number of those players that you mentioned to me who were outstanding this weekend. Probably none more so than Jack Knoll.
Yeah, have they got what it takes to beat Saracens? Because I think they're the only team that they can't beat
at home. Yes.
Yeah.
Although they lost at home to them. They're not
early in the season.
Early
yes.
in the season, maybe
early in the season. Yeah,
but yeah, I think they can. I think they can beat anyone at home, at a neutral venue. If Saracens have got a full team, give me Saracens. I'm afraid,
especially in a big cup game or a final.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Saracens are more acclimatized to that kind of atmosphere.
And Exeter, you say, Tim, was it 7 bonus point wins on the bounce, and they have been scoring so freely. If you get that Saracen, that oppressive, suffocating Saracens defence, shutting them down behind the gain line over and over and over again, I'm not sure they'd know how to deal with that.
No, I'm not sure anyone does. But there again, I mean, I guess what they could do, or what they are able to do, is tighten up. Substantially, they can play the percentages. They can play the territory game too.
They can do, yeah.
And God, they. I mean, it wasn't close after the first half last year, but then the end result was in the Aviva final.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be. I think that will be the final. Mind you, no, because
could they play each other in the semi-final?
Yeah.
So I think. Well, we can get onto this in a little bit more depth, but if Saracens beat Wasps and are in the top two with Exeter, then it's probably going to be the case that Exeter play Leicester, Saracens play Wasps. It'll be a reverse of this weekend's weekend's fixture.
Yeah.
So it could well be an Exeter-Saracens final. But if Wasps win, then it'll probably end up being Exeter v Saracens at Sandy Park.
Wow.
And then we'd really find out... And it would be Saracens playing the week after the final against Clermont, which is just going to... This Saracens team.
It's going to be tough.
Yep.
It's going to be very, very tough.
Just on Saracens, didn't mention it before. Have you seen they made a couple of signings this week?
Yeah, go on.
They signed Christopher Tulafua.
From
Toulouse. Yeah, who's a 19-stone, 23-year-old hooker.
Mm-hmm. And they've got another big boy.
Will Skelton is one of the big boys, but they've announced Dominic Day.
Dominic Day, yeah. Second row coming back from Melbourne Rebels via Japan.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So, who looks like he's a kind of a light-for-light replacement for...
Jim Hamilton. Yeah, that feels about right to me.
Yeah.
Very much so. As a kind of squad player, you know you'll get a decent performance.
Any other transfer talk?
I'm trying to think.
It's all very quiet at Sale Sharks. What has happened to Faf de Klerk that everyone was talking about? What's happened to...
Did I discuss this last week?
We might have talked about some stuff off the podcast.
About eligibility of players and that kind of thing.
We might have talked about some various bits of politics going on with the scrum half targets.
Right, okay. So I'll make it as vague as I possibly can, right?
But that'll please everyone. Let's keep more or less vague than Ellis Genge and what he got up to pre going to Leicester.
Yeah, so as I understand it, okay, they agreed...
Hold on, you're talking about Sale Sharks, do a ding.
Yep. As I understand it, they agreed to do a deal with a certain scrum half who is not English qualified, okay? When they did the deal with the English qualified scrum half, all of a sudden, James O'Connor came onto the market. So instead of just saying, no, actually, we don't need you anymore, they sent him the contract and then just kept absolutely silent.
So we have heard, allegedly.
Sent the scrum half the contract and then stayed silent.
Yeah.
And what's the... importance of James O'Connor because he's not a scrum half.
Yeah, because that takes their non-English qualifying.
Oh yes.
Yeah, the non-English qualifying. So there's some... I'm going to get this horribly wrong now and people are going to say, why are you even talking? Which is fair. So then they needed to address the scrum half position again, which is where the Faf de Klerk thing came in, because South Africans aren't bound by the same rules.
Oh, because of the former Commonwealth.
I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. Because cricket has the same thing. I can't remember what it's called.
Pact or something, isn't it?
K. It begins with a K in it somewhere.
Yeah. So then
I'm being as vague as JB is.
So then that happened. They went for Faf de Klerk, so they could still do the still bring in a international class scrum half. And then it sounds like James O'Connor isn't happening. That could be for a number of reasons, which means they've gone back to scrum half, who now wants nothing to do with them. So that is basically what is happening. So I understand
they've messed up signing two international players, basically,
or three, depending on.
they had one, thought they'd trade for another one.
Yeah,
and then. He didn't want it. They went for a third one before going back to the one they went back to originally. Who now thinks, "Oh, I'm third choice, not first choice." Do one.
I can only describe this as it's like a kid who is very good in a go-kart, and he kind of impresses on like the track, and then you throw him into a car with 500 horsepower, and he rams it into a wall continuously. They've got money. They just
Describing Steve Diamond here, or Sharks as an organisation?
Yeah,
what's going on?
I mean. They've got money. They just don't seem to be able to spend it. Having said that, John O'Ross is a fantastic signing, and Strauss is quite the capture. But as long as it doesn't go past eight, they'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they need halfbacks. They need halfbacks urgently. Well, and it turns out, would you believe it, there aren't that many world class halfbacks about.
Are there not?
That
does surprise me.
If I was to guess, right, and this is a complete guess. Don't be surprised if you see one of these kind of get-out-of-jail-free clauses where they do sign an international fly half, but it's someone like Rory Jackson. Rodri Jackson. And that's not a knock on Rodri Jackson, but, you know, when it's kind of... Yeah, he has played international, but he's not an international.
Yeah.
That's what will happen.
Yeah.
Well, they had a very, very poor performance at the weekend again. Nothing to play for, so we can skirt over that one.
Yeah, on the subject before of annoying things that directors of rugby say, Sale got pumped, absolutely pumped by Leicester. And it's like, yeah, well, Leicester had things to play for, and we've got six guys in the England squad. Not really an excuse, is it?
No,
it's not.
No, it doesn't justify
the
performance.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard Steve Diamond say, and usually he's pretty good after the fact.
Well, he was less angry than he normally is after a massive pumping.
Yeah.
Which is a bit surprising.
But the thing is, there was always different excuses. Go back 6 months and it would be a bad loss. It'd be like, yeah, well, you know, we're the unfashionable Northern club. We don't get any England players. No one cares about us. So
to be fair, at the start of the season, they did have a horrible run of games. Toulon twice, Saracens twice. They had Exeter turn around their season at Sale. You know, so...
the tipping point.
Goes both ways.
They didn't have any tougher set of fixtures than anyone else. That's a weak excuse.
They're the only team in the Premiership to have played Saracens four times and played Toulon twice.
Anglo-Welsh Cup. Champions Cup.
Champions Cup.
Doesn't excuse Premiership. Anyway, but yeah, because they were so poor and nothing riding on it, it's not worth talking about. So where are the pressure points in the Avicii Premiership now? We've got that sixth position, which is a shootout. It's become what's really cool about this weekend coming up is there's two games which are just basically shootouts for positions. So you have Harlequins going to Northampton with a 3-point cushion. So either of those teams could get the sixth position and a Champions Cup spot.
Yeah,
and then you've got, as we've discussed already, Saracens and Wasps shooting out for a home semi-final, which could be very, very important from Wasps' point of view. Then, much better at home.
Yeah,
much, much better. Yeah, at home.
And on the back of a few, as we've already said, a few poor performances, you really hope that Wasps kind of turn it around to make things more interesting.
Okay, so hang on. Why don't we make this our pick of the week?
Go on then. So, with Leo Vegas and Egg Chasers, you can get... So, with Leo Vegas, we're going to try and give you some advice, some thoughts, anyway, to get you thinking on what could be... Well, you could have a little flutter with Leo Vegas. They love rugby. You'll see their brand and their name across the back of Leicester Tigers shorts. And they handpicked the Egg Chasers podcast because they wanted to reach out to you and let them know of the fact they really care about rugby. They'll give you great odds, great options if you want to have a flutter in rugby union. So our game of the week, Saracens Wasps, I take it?
I'd say so, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
So Wasps have been fantastic at home this season.
Yeah,
I mean, in fact, Phil, can you break this one down at all a little bit? You're pretty good statistically.
Well,
like 50% is okay.
Yeah, pretty good. Half the time, get it right every time.
Exactly. Go on.
So, Wasps are in first place in the Avicii Premiership on 79 points, just ahead of Exeter in terms of points four. And matches won as well. Importantly, they've won 16 games. Exeter have only won 14. Saracens have also won 16 games. And are 2 points behind purely because of the bonus points. Saracens have not won as many bonus points as Wasps. What's probably going to... There's two things at play here in my mind. One, home advantage for Wasps. And two, Saracens... cannot play a full strength team, I don't think.
You think the risk is too great?
Yeah. I think they'll have to make at least a few changes, at least a handful of changes. What those changes are could actually impact things a huge amount.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And I'm not quite sure what those changes are going to be. So I would like to say, if you're missing... think of the key players for Saracens. Goud,
Farrell,
Vunipolas, Itoji.
Yep, and Cruis.
And Cruis,
yeah. And Berger.
Well, I think, yeah, Itoji and Cruis together, because Berger you can get, bring in Jackson Ray.
Yeah, do you
and
know
do
what?
A good they... job. Michael Rhodes do a good job.
I'm gonna question your they have to rest players, because there's so... If they get to the final of the Avicii Premiership, there is 4 games left.
Yeah.
They've just had a week off.
Well, some of the players have had a week off. A lot of them haven't. So the Vunipola started, Owen Farrell started.
And prior to that, did they have a week off? No, they were straight into
it. So I guess the question they've got to ask themselves is is that home semi worth the risk?
Yeah, you look at it one of two ways. I don't know that it's in Saracens. I suppose if you changed up a load of players and lost but gave a good account of yourself, you could mentally turn that around for
so
the same game again, because they would probably go to Wasps again, wouldn't they?
No, they go to Exeter.
You could probably process that mentally in your mind and still turn yourself around.
So on this point, with Saracens, I think they will rotate, but not necessarily for the reasons Phil says, which is explicitly to rest better players. I think they'll rotate because they have a big squad who they trust. So I'm not particularly bothered about that. Like, they can interchange Jamie George, they can interchange some of the props.
They gave Wigglesworth a game off this week.
Yeah, you know, and they don't really lose much for having De Kock or Ben Spencer. You know, so that's okay, I guess. Just fast-forwarding to the actual game itself, I think this is going to be a bit tricky for Saracens because they have beat Wasps already this season.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you remember, they became really unstuck against Wasps last season. In fact, they got an absolute hiding. And I think that if you want to beat Saracens, Wasps might have that, you know, that sort of recipe to do so. That fast attacking game with a ton of pace.
I think that... So Saracens will be looking to kick the ball to Wasps and then pressure them and make them make mistakes in their own half.
Yeah.
There's some stat about the number of Wasps tries and points that are scored from about halfway out.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right there.
And so Saracens' kicking game will look to go try and pin them deep in their own half, because Wasps are at their most dangerous when they get kick return ball with a bit of space and around about halfway.
Yeah, so yeah,
they'll cut you to shreds.
I think this might be where I think set piece will be important, but I actually think that the kick chase is going to be where it's won and lost, thinking it through logically. Because if that Saracens kick chase isn't spot on, and Christian Wade gets a half break, or Beal gets a half break,
Willie LaRue's there now. Or Elliot Daly.
They've got Elliot,
or Gropeth,
exactly.
Who made a brilliant break against Quinns.
Yes, he did.
Is one of the best moments from a Wasps perspective in their game this weekend.
So actually, when you look at that firepower, if Saracens aren't completely on their game, and I've got nothing to suggest that they won't be, but if they're not, this could be the team that do them some serious damage.
Christian Wade.
Right.
Have I mentioned my theory on the podcast?
That he did something with some relative of Eddie Jones or something?
No. I think Christian Wade, you know, you call Jamie Heaslip a flat track bully.
Oh, yes. I'm into this. Go on.
Christian Wade scores lots and lots of tries. When you look at the Premiership, he's always right up there in the top try scorers. But last season, he scored 6 tries against Worcester.
Yep.
This season, did he get 4 or 5?
5.
Yeah. I think he's a flat track bully.
Only for Worcester?
Well, just against weaker teams.
Yeah.
He'll score great tries when he's given a bit of space and room to manoeuvre.
Yeah, I'm looking at down at previous games. He scored against Gloucester. He scored against Worcester. Yeah.
He'll get 1 or 2 against the good teams. He won't score 6 tries against Saracens.
I think he can be well marshalled.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, pretty important. Hard to say.
So right, we're dancing around it, aren't we?
Yeah, so let's get into this.
It's a very difficult game to predict.
I called this a couple of weeks back, a few weeks ago, and I'm calling it now that Wasps are going to drop out of the top 2 and Saracens are going to win.
Having watched their performance on Friday night, I find it hard to argue with that.
I tend to agree. I think Wasps will drop out of the top 2.
And that was with all the players that we were talking about last week. We're going, well, you know.
Well, it's that Sale game. When I watched them against Sale.
Ding.
there is some fragility there.
Yeah.
So, and it is business time now. It is time. It is that time where Saracens start to take things even more seriously than they already do. They'll be gearing up for finals. I'm going to go Saracens, I'm going to say by, here we go, 13 points.
That is away. Give me Saracens by 5.
You just mentioned something which just reminded me. Do you know what this is?
Yeah. No.
Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to say, babe. Oh, you're so hipster. You're trying to say, oh, yeah.
It's business time.
Never heard this, have I? Very nice. Are those guys New Zealanders? They are, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah,
they are, yeah. Very funny dudes.
Very, yeah. I love Flight of the Conchords.
Right, so we're all going Saracens with victory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13, wow. 5, and your.
And a week ago, I was absolutely certain that Wasps would get a home semi final.
No, I've not been that convinced, to be fair. I think I even said, like, next year, I think they might go backwards because they're going to lose a lot of talent.
And if that happens, they will go to Allianz, most likely. Sale.
Yeah.
Not Sale. Exeter. Yeah, Exeter go to Sale. No? Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Exeter travel to Gloucester.
Exeter travel to Gloucester.
No, right. Sale have got Bath.
Sale have got Bath.
Yeah,
Bath
Sale
goes
Sale. Bath.
And Bath looking for that top six spot. The fifth spot. No, they've wrapped that up now. So, yes, sorry, I'm getting confused. So,
right.
Exeter go to Gloucester will probably win there, but it's not a foregone conclusion. Gloucester in their last home game will want to put in a performance, and we saw Harlequin's last home game. Teams can raise their game for one-off matches, and you wouldn't put it past Gloucester. But if it goes to form and goes the way we're predicting, then what we're saying is Exeter are going to be first
yeah.
in the table after the regular season, and we'll play Leicester at Sandy Park.
Yeah.
And Saracens will be second and play Wasps at Allianz Park.
Yes.
Yes.
Which will be a mental... That'll be a mental beatdown for Wasps to recover.
Can I just add this? A completely illogical, pointless point. Which is, if you wanted to spin the roulette wheel against a team and have the most dangerous team possible to play over and over again, it probably would be Wasps. It's not... In that respect, it isn't a great game... It isn't a great game to win.
With Wasps, you feel like they could lose a game by 20 points.
Yes.
Against anyone. But
so
they could
really?
So you're messing up the law of averages. You're just... Yeah, the more times you play, the more likely you are to come a cropper in one of them.
In
so
one of them,
what
yeah.
I'm arguing is they should lose against Wasps to avoid playing Wasps.
On the off chance.
That Wasps have a really good day.
Yeah. That everything clicks.
And then they can place... Exeter at Sandy Park, who I think they match up against much better. That's what I would do.
That is our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Get involved, leovegas.com. You couldn't have sounded more Partridge then. I've just noticed a new addition in the down in the rugby dungeon here, which I'm going to ask JB about in a moment. But we've had a very quick game sent in. Max Armstrong has got in touch with a game, which I'm going to play now, which is Puma or Drug Kingpin.
Very good.
Max has got in touch and said, evidently, nicknames are a big thing in South America and Latin countries. So can you guess if the following belong to an Argentinian rugby player or a notorious drug lord?
Ooh, yes, please.
You get a point for each and a bonus point if you actually get any of the player's names correct. So if you know from the nickname who the player is. So, El Toro. El Toro, which translates as the bull. So are you more likely to see El Toro pushing hard drugs or pushing hard on a scrum machine?
El Toro.
El Toro.
It almost sounds too obvious to just be an Argentinian prop.
Yeah, it
it's
does.
Like a it feels like a trap.
Mind you, it's almost too obvious to be a drug lord.
Yeah.
What are you going with? I'm going to say...
Are these things mutually exclusive?
There is one person who is both. or two separate people.
Or one person that is both.
Yeah, Mark Syers has got something to tell us about his retirement. Phil?
I think it's a double bluff. Give me a Puma. Give me a prop.
JB?
I too think it's a prop. Which prop will it be? Don't know.
Herrera.
You're both correct. It is a prop. It's a Puma. And it is Marcus Aietze, known as El Toro.
Oh, really?
By his Argentinian
I'm surprised
rugby fans.
I didn't know that. I thought we knew that along the line.
Question two. El Chapo.
Oh,
which means shorty.
El Chapo?
Is El Chapo a violent and ruthless thug feared by his rivals or a drug kingpin?
El Chapo. Wasn't that the guy in Mexico that just busted out? Was that Chapo? I'm going to say it's Chapo. I'm going to say drug kingpin.
Oh, I'll go for a scrum half then.
El Chapo is a drug kingpin. Joaquin Guzman, a cartel boss who once escaped prison through a 1.5-kilometre tunnel, which led to the bottom of his cell.
Someone knows they're criminals.
Next one is El Osito. El Osito.
What does that even mean?
The little bear.
The little bear.
Does the little bear, El Osito, does he take his lines off the back of a scrum or the back of a Colombian prostitute?
So, yeah, regarding the nicknames, Little Bear, anything which can sound ironic has to be a drug kingpin, doesn't it? I think I've assessed this game.
You're going for drug kingpin, and Phil?
I'm going for a hooker. I'm going specifically Creevy.
It is a drug kingpin. Roberto Escobar Gaviria, brother and business partner of Pablo. Escobar.
Little Bear.
Yes.
Are we going to get knocked off for this?
This is stuff in the public domain. El Cachorro means the puppy.
The puppy. That's got a drug king.
Is the puppy more likely to meet James O'Connor on the pitch at the Stade Mayol or in an alleyway near a Paris nightclub?
The puppy. I'm going to say it's a fly half. I'm going to say it's Felipe Contepomi.
Nice.
Phil?
I am going also a flat. Well, no, also a rugby player.
You can get an extra point
if you get it right.
Get the player if it is a player. He said Felipe Contepomi.
Felipe Contepuppy.
I'm going to say Cordero, the winger fullback.
You're both correct. It's a puma. It's Nicolas Sanchez.
Oh,
Jaguares. Playboy, fly half, and former teammate of James O'Connor at Toulon. Question five, then. Two more to go. JB's leading by a couple at the minute. El Majo, the magician. Can this magician disappear the ball from the back of a ruck or a body from the back of a truck?
Ooh.
El Majo.
Okay, so I've got it. It's a puma, and it's Augustin Pichot.
Ah, very good. I'm going to say it's a gangster.
It is a puma. It is Juan Martin Hernandez, known as El Majo.
I actually knew that.
And final one, JB's already won it.
Yeah.
El Mulitas, which has nothing to do with the hairdo. It means crutches. Is crutches the one who is always injured or the one who's always doing the injuring?
Okay, so El Mulitas is a rugby player. Is it not Shane Byrne?
I'm going to go for a gangster.
You're correct, Philip. It's drug kingpin Rosario Reda Lopez, a Mexican cartel hitman. JB won that round, but I think the real winner was Max Armstrong for an outstanding quiz.
I enjoyed that. That's the most enjoyable I've had for a long time.
That's right up there, Max. Top work. Puma or drug kingpin. I've had others emailed to me for future episodes as well.
Very good.
Right. As we've already done one prediction for the Avicii, let's just quickly rattle off these final ones then. Mm-hmm. So the only one that really matters for position is Quinn's going to Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you see this one panning out?
So Saints have lost the last three, something like that, and they've lost a couple of them where they should have won and just lost in the last minute. So not on a good run of form. They can overtake Quinns to get into the top six, but I'm not sure if they will.
No, I don't think they will either.
And Quinns did put in a very, very good performance. When they do have all or certainly most of their players fit and firing, they look great.
So. And where is it at the Gardens, yeah?
It is at the Gardens.
So to me, these two teams are vying for the most disappointing team of the year, along with Gloucester, but we kind of expected that from Gloucester, didn't we?
And certainly the second half of the season, Bath.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and in the Avicii Premiership, Gloucester.
Yeah.
You said Gloucester.
Yeah.
And Sale.
Bristol.
And Bristol, well.
The thing is, right, so you've got to kind of be measured on this, which is not everyone can finish in the top four. It's just maths. So, like, you know, these places have to be filled.
I'm just making a note of that. Not everyone. Okay, got it.
So, like, someone's got to finish sixth and seventh.
They do.
But these squads, the amount of paid for these squads and the quality within them. I don't know, you'd expect the standard of rugby to be a bit higher, particularly in the case of Northampton.
Oh, yeah.
So that would be my major criticism of them. But they are starting to play a bit better. I thought these guys had enough to go all the way this season, at the start of the season.
Yeah, we called Saints in our top four.
Yep.
Yep.
But no.
They have. I think they have been the biggest letdown.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. Pre-season predictions versus the actual reality, they can salvage something by getting Champions Cup.
Yeah, because it wasn't just results, it was a performance too.
If they fall, whichever team falls outside the Champions Cup, it's a failure. Whichever team makes the Champions Cup, it's acceptable.
It's about par. It's probably still, they would be hoping for better, and they could achieve better if they got everything right.
Yeah.
So,
I think Saints at home will squeeze it.
I think Saints can outmuscle them, and I think Quinns can be very flaky. So that is my logic for saying, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
Quinns have won on the road, but it's quite a rarity.
Yeah, that's true. They are a better team at home.
So, I'll go with that. Quinns. Northampton.
Okay.
There we go. Okay, so what other elements in the rugby arena do we want to talk about? There was a win for Edinburgh, finally got a win.
They did.
In the Pro 12.
Wow. I mean,
beating the Dragons.
Quite incredible.
Yeah.
When a movable object meets a stoppable force. I don't know what to say about that. Great.
Ospreys are back within a point of the playoffs with a victory.
Don't talk to me about that.
Well, on that one, Emmett McNamara has tweeted us to @rugbypodcast and posed a question, which I'll put to you, Phil. Ulster equal the Irish Gloucester. Discuss. Hashtag next year.
Except for the...
They've flattered to deceive as well, Ulster, but after a decent start.
But they are in the mix for top four.
They were. This game pretty much means it. They can't.
So what does the top of the Pro 12 look like?
Leinster first, 84 points. Munster second, 81. Then a bit of a drop off. Scarlets with 72. Ospreys with 69. And then Ulster with 64 with one game remaining. So 5 points adrift with one game remaining.
Okay, well, at least.
So Leinster and Munster will have home semi finals.
Yeah.
It will probably be that Leinster play
Ospreys.
It'll be two Irish teams at home to two Welsh teams, more than likely.
It looks like it.
Well, at least it gives it a bit more balance because it did have. There was a danger of it being completely Irish dominated.
Yeah, you thought at one point it could be Leinster, Munster, Ulster.
Yeah.
And another.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely not the case. But it will probably be the two semi-finalists in Europe that have had a resurgence this year. And it is good to see the Irish provinces
hammering everyone.
Playing well again. But not necessarily so good to see them a good 10 points comfortably and more ahead of the chasing pack. But so Leinster will probably play Ospreys. Munster will probably play Scarlets in the semi-finals.
So are we saying all Irish final?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
It looks like, and it's in Dublin this year, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
27th.
We might go to that.
Oh, I'd like to go to that.
That's on the same day as the Avicii final.
Yeah, but I'd rather go to Dublin than go to Twickenham. Just saying.
Well,
I've heard the entertainment on the BT stage outside the ground will be top notch.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's going to be hosted well.
No, I've heard it's going to be hosted well, but it's me and Andy Goode.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gang fight.
Yeah.
Oh, so do you want some backup? Is that
Yeah, exactly. He's got Jim Hamilton backing him up and that other bloke. No, joking.
Oh, wow. I mean, how would this go down?
Let's do it like the Anchorman scene where all the news teams
out. We're going to have to take weapons. There's no ways about it. If Northampton, the most disappointing team in England, who's the most disappointing team in the Pro 12?
Ulster can't be far off.
No.
I'm just so frustrated. There's times this season they've looked incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I look back to the home game against Clermont and the away game against Clermont where we didn't win but put in a hell of a shift. And some of the performances this season have been brilliant.
I'd go with Ulster.
And then there's been others. Like when I travelled up to Edinburgh, one of Edinburgh's five wins this season, and the others have been against Treviso, Zebra and Dragons, one of them has been against Ulster. And it was at a time when Ulster had... So they were missing a few internationals, but they still had Pietau and they still had Pienaar And they still had a number of other talented players.
Should they do the right thing and let Pietel go? Let him fly, spread his wings.
To Wasps, you're thinking.
Well, anywhere, really.
No, absolutely not. Because it's all about next year, JB.
Exactly. Well, you say Ulster, I say Glasgow.
Yeah, Ulster and Glasgow, fifth and sixth. I mean,
Glasgow is a very good shout, actually. Yeah.
I like Glasgow. I like everything they do. I like their organisation. I like the way they play. I like the way they approach things. I love their coaching appointment for this year. And their current coach isn't too shoddy either. So I think
The wheels have just kind of fallen off, though. 1-11, lost 10. That's not good enough for Glasgow.
Absolutely right, mate.
And then last year's champions, Connacht.
I can forgive that one. It's a bit like Leicester. It's a bit like Leicester City in the Premiership. You don't imagine they're going to back it up.
Yeah,
it is depressing though. Exactly how predictable the standings are in the Pro 12, especially the bottom half of the table. I mean, you could kind of predict that. Maybe even in order.
Not far off.
On historic form, nothing really changes.
If you're going to predict the whole table, you might swap Scarlets and Glasgow, and you might like swap about Ulster and Ospreys possibly, but then. The rest of it.
You're right, but then I'm not having that because I'm going back to the Avicii table and bottom upwards, Bristol, Worcester, Sale Sharks, Newcastle, Gloucester. That's exactly the five teams you would have said would be in the bottom five.
That's pretty fair. Let me be clear. I said Sale would finish top six, so looks like the joke's on you, mate. Awesome.
One other thing this weekend.
Okay.
Did you see that two former rugby players' sons were playing this weekend?
I'm going to say Warren Gatland's.
Yeah, do you know what his first name is?
No, is he a fly half or something?
He is a fly half.
Hang on.
Has he been selected in the President's 15 squad to play in the first Lions game?
Presidential Barbarians or whatever they're called.
There's a lot of politicking going on with this Lions tour, isn't there? Anyway, go on.
So, the guy that's just been called up to England, Piers Francis, who is Blues... I called him their second choice 10. Someone disputed that on Twitter. He's first or second choice 10.
1A.
Yeah, 1A of 1A and 1B with Ihiah West. But they're both injured. So Blues' third choice 10, clearly third choice 10, got drafted in, and it's Bryn Gatland.
Ah, yes.
So
any good?
They won. They got a narrow victory against the Brumbies. I didn't actually see much of the game, to be honest, apart from a couple of the tries. He could then, therefore, play against the Lions twice, presumably.
Blues and
this Presidential Barbarians, or whatever they're called.
I fear for the Lions.
And there was an international Australian fly half's son played for England under-16s at fullback.
A what? Say again?
Former Australian international fly half.
Yeah. Son.
His son.
Liner.
I'd go with Liner.
Was it Liner?
Yeah, it was.
Was he any good?
I don't know.
So Michael Liner's son, I suppose he's been in England working at Sky Sports for so long.
Yeah, his son's playing for England.
So is that the future then? We need to go and grab the best best on the hemisphere talent, make them procreate over here and steal their sons.
Do you reckon there's I bet
it sounds like a Eastern European selective breeding program.
Maybe we're going to find out about some
when Dan Carter works for Scrum 5 Live.
Yeah, about some contract in a vault somewhere that's been kept under lock and key and hidden away that actually, as long as they keep bearing sons, they can keep working for Sky Sports.
Yeah, that sounds...
Michael Liner, Sean Fitzpatrick. Sean Fitzpatrick. He's got a good stock.
Mm.
If he's got a son knocking about, there could be a potential England hooker.
I feel that we would know about it, though.
Yeah.
It might be coming of age.
Yeah. Well, who else? Like Scott Quinnell, maybe that's why we're keeping him over... working at Sky Sports, getting English.
Surely he still lives in Wales.
Yeah, he must.
There's no way.
He must.
Well, he delivers those massive checks to the people in the postcode lottery.
What would Jonathan Sprott sound like if he just won the postcode lottery, Tim?
No way! I can buy a car that goes forward!
I don't think there's any more places to go with this podcast.
No, you're right.
I think you're probably right.
Actually, There is a couple more things briefly. Firstly, the last 90 seconds of the Leinster v Glasgow game was reminiscent of England versus the Six Nations game. England-Wales, was it?
No, Wales-France.
Wales-France, sorry. When it just went on and on and on for 10 minutes, it was really tense, one-point victory for Leinster. Having led the game, there was the floodlight being turned off for a 20-minute stop down in the game, and then there was this dramatic last 90 seconds at the RDS. And there was one little cool bit where, when the lights were all out, everyone put their mobile phones on like they're at a gig singing a ballad. It was a nice moment and a really cool spectacle, not necessarily in the way that most fans would like or would have planned for, or definitely not would have planned for. But that last 10 minutes was gripping, and Leinster just managed to hold on. And Glasgow, we were talking about them underperforming. They could have come away with a really rare victory from the RDS. Not many teams do that.
No, they don't. That's for sure.
And the only other thing we have to do as well is the Lions shirt, the untouchable jersey that we got given by Canterbury, an actual match jersey of all the same specifications that the Lions players will wear in the tour to New Zealand. You could be one of the very few people to have this particular version of the shirt that is match-type jersey. So how are we giving this one away?
Well, first of all, the mandatory stash tag. Okay, so you've got this far, you've got to use the stash tag. Second of all, we want you to try and spread the word of this podcast as far as possible. So I'll give you an example. If you work for HSBC and you go mail all staff with our podcast link on, please screenshot that and send it to us. You will almost certainly win.
You will also, there's a good chance you'll get fired if you do that.
Hey, but well, untouchable shirt, right?
Yeah. Give up a high-paying job for HSBC, but get a
priceless. A Lions shirt is priceless. You asked this.
Exactly.
That's not priceless. It's about 70K to those lads. But still, spread the word of the podcast however you want. Include us on a tweet with the hashtag stash tag. And, well, we'll just decide in an arbitrary manner.
Yeah, it could be as simple as you fire out a tweet to everyone that you're on Twitter with and just demand that they listen to the podcast and put a link to the podcast up. And say how amazing it is. That's fantastic. You could,
if you spend the afternoon tapping strangers on the shoulder, making them download our podcast.
Yeah,
that counts.
Yeah, you could make a big sign and stand in your high street advertising the podcast and get someone to take a picture of it.
Yeah, like the guys who work for Domino's.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Or you could, I'm just trying to think of an example. You could make a fantastic Photoshop advert.
Yeah. If you're a commercial pilot, you could write it in the sky.
Yeah. You could take to any number of online forums and just make some quite funny demand of people listening to the podcast. Whatever it is, we're going to reward effort, ingenuity, or just passion.
Mm. And we do have at least two RAF pilots that listen. So maybe, you know, a banner behind a tornado would be cool.
It certainly would be. Yeah.
It certainly would be. A hot air balloon maker, make a hot air balloon.
Yeah, there
whatever.
You go.
A rugby ball shaped hot air balloon. Whatever, big or small, have a crack. Just do something, and we've got not just this amazing shirt, but we could have some little runners up prizes as well. So get involved. You know where to find us on Twitter and whatnot at Rugby Podcast.
Did we have a stash tag?
Yeah, stash tag.
Should we just say hashtag stash tag?
Yeah. So it's not hashtag. Hashtag stash tag.
Yeah.
It's hashtag stash tag.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it?
So use the hashtag stash tag.
Yeah.
Perfect. Simple.
Okay. I think we're...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
clear on that. I think now we are pretty much done.
We are definitely done now.